Last year, when the Gopher women's hockey team took the national championships, a lot of excited fans were left out in the cold. The Frozen Four championships weren't broadcast on national TV. Turner Broadcasting, which owns the deal with the NCAA, offered no comment. It's true that the audience for most women's teams is smaller. For Gopher hockey, about four times as many spectators turn out for the men's as the women's games. But, of course, exposure drives interest. So do championship teams. And anyway, business people often make self-fulfilling prophecies. I mean, if you have your hand on the switch that determines whether or not a game is broadcast and you say, they won't watch it, well, you're probably going to be right because you don't throw the switch. When we look at the growth of women's sports, I wonder if we look in the wrong places. I mean, how many women have management jobs at Turner Sports or ESPN? Or for that matter, how many women own professional sports teams? When the racer Danica Patrick became the first woman to win a NASCAR pole, she was a pioneer, to be sure. But the more interesting story might be Lisa Kennedy, who's on the board of directors of NASCAR and owns 13 of NASCAR's tracks, including Daytona. It's a family business. Her dad, Bill France, started NASCAR. But I doubt when he was in that hospital room and got his first look at his baby girl that he thought, one day you'll run the world's noisiest competition. And she will have a lot of say over how that good old boy Southern pastime continues to evolve in the 21st century. In 2012, there was quite a bit of media attention marking the 40th anniversary of the passage of Title IX, a law requiring equality of opportunity at school regardless of gender. I don't recall if the coverage included much about the NCAA's fierce opposition to the bill or their lawsuit against the government's implementation of it. It was all part of the NCAA's proud tradition of being always on the wrong side of history. But anyway, 2012 wasn't really the 40th anniversary of equal or more equal opportunity for women. It took 3 years for the government to come up with rules for implementation and then a few more years for schools to fully comply and for it to get into the systems. So I'd locate the real beginning of the law more in the late 70s, early 80s. When Cheryl Reeves was playing high school basketball, before she went on to play for the LaSalle Explorers in the 1987-88 season, leading her team to a 25-5 record. Now she's the head coach of the Minnesota Lynx, where Maya Moore thrills fans with her brilliant play, who was born in 1989. She grew up in a different world than her coach. Her talent is, in part, a product of society's expectations, what's possible, what's allowed. You could say her life and career were possible because of a few brave congresswomen back in 68 and 70. Didn't have any women in the Senate then. And of course, it's not just the superstars that's made a huge difference to. There's a sociologist at the Wharton School of Business who analyzed female high school sport participation and its impact on school performance and career choice. Dr. Betsy Stevenson found that Title IX led to a 20% increase in women's education and a 40% increase in employment for women 25 to 34 years old. Talking about her results, she said, it's not just that people who are going to do well in life play sports, but that sports help people do well in life. You could say the same thing about equal opportunity. It's an experiment, equality is. Including Title IX, which is only a couple of generations along and doing pretty well so far. We don't have full equality yet, but like they like to say around the Hot Stove League, there's always next year.